this church and this group of people. I appreciate Brother and Sister Butler tonight and all the sweet things that they had to say. I don't want to pass by without saying how much we've appreciated having them and here in this fellowship for these 12 years. And as they go to Tennessee now, they're going to be honorary new lifers, and they can't get away from us, okay? Praise God. Well, I appreciate all the nice things. I'm a lot shorter than what he said about me tonight, so it's kind of hard to stand here and feel comfortable after being talked about in such a positive way. But I appreciate all the wonderful, wonderful things that you had to say, Brother Butch, and I hope that I can in some way live up to those expectations. Maybe God will help me. You didn't say anything about my thick, wavy hair. Well, it was gone before you came, so. Preacher needs that thick, wavy hair, you know. Politicians and preachers need that, you know. So we're working here at a deficit tonight. I appreciate my wife, and it has been a wonderful 32 years, and I think God had his hand on us before we ever got the Holy Ghost and directed our paths and ordered our steps. He knew exactly who I would need and what I would need to live for him and to walk successfully in the house of God. And she has been, besides the Holy Ghost, the most compelling and the most positive and most powerful influence in my life. And I appreciate her so very, very much tonight. She's been my helpmeet and mother of my children and my secretary and my choir director and helped me when I would have perhaps walked off in some areas. She was level-headed and strong in her faith, and she's been an extreme blessing to me. I appreciate her tonight. Well, we'll try to open the word now, unless there's somebody else that I've forgotten that needs some pulpit time. And Psalms 47 is where we are. Always appropriate. And powerful. And we speak these words quite often. And would everyone say, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. Turn to your neighbor and say, that means he's awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We bless your name. We lift you up tonight. We're so thankful to know you in spirit and in truth. Praise God. The psalmist says, clap your hands, all ye people. And it's an applause unto the heavens. It's a signal of celebration. You find people that are happy when they're clapping their hands. They are in agreement when they're clapping their hands. They're lauding and appreciating when they're clapping their hands. And it is an overt signal of approval. It says, I agree. Now, I'm going to tell you that on Broadway, it is at times of great success that there have been 5 and 6 standing ovations for a Broadway play or some sort of symphonic presentation or something that has stimulated and inspired, and people will stand to their feet and the actors or the musicians or the conductor will come back out again for another curtain call and another bow. But the people aren't satisfied. They've been so blessed by that performance or so inspired by that musical presentation, and they'll stay on their feet, and it's contagious. contagious. It begins to move through the crowd. It can last for 30 minutes, and they're not ready to go home yet. But they stay on their feet. It happens at rock concerts. It happens in all venues and all manner of musical and theatrical presentations. But I've got to tell you tonight that if there ever has been a venue or a place where applause is appropriate and it is comely and it is right, it is in the house of the living God when we're talking about the things of God and the word of God. And David said, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. It said, I'm really glad to be here, and I'm really glad to be alive in the kingdom, and I'm really glad for the word of God, and I'm glad he found me, and I'm glad he redeemed me, and I'm glad to be alive in the word of God tonight. Praise God, and I'm happy about it, and I celebrate it, and I lift you up for it, oh God. Somebody say praise the Lord. But you can go all over this town and you can find places where they'll clap their hands at sporting events, and they'll clap their hands for politicians, and they'll applaud the president when he walks in, or the governor, or a senator, or some dignitary. But they'll sit in church with their hands folded because somebody has stolen their praise. Somebody has stolen their vehicle for affirming that they are excited about being in the house of God. They were taught to be quiet. They were taught to be withdrawn. They were taught it was holy to be bored in the house of God. They were taught that motion and movement and energy and excitement in the house of God were somehow not respecting or not respectful of the surroundings. But the word of God is our key. And as we go to the word of God tonight, we find out that worship is motion. Worship is movement. Worship is not what God does to me. Worship is what I do unto God. Worship is not when God touches you. Worship is when you come before God and you want to touch him. Worship is not some sort of a gathering of people. It's not an entitled meeting on a church bulletin. But worship is the outpouring of the heart of a man or a woman before a God that they've fallen in love with. Praise and worship are essential to life in the kingdom of God. You can't live for God without praise in your life. You can't overcome the enemy without worship in your life. You can't be bold against the tempter without worship and praise in your life, because worship and praise is a response that says, I agree. I stand with God. I am one of his. Let me lift my voice. It is a response to, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's clap our hands tonight and bless his name. Clap your hands, all you people. Sister Vesta Mangan says, break some veins, break some capillaries. Clap your hands until you can feel the pain. Well, praise the Lord. The psalmist says, shout to God with a voice of triumph. Shout to God. Not a mealy-mouthed, little, quiet, timid voice. Not some sort of a secretive whisper. I tell you, I walked with my wife into the temple of Athena there in Nashville. There's a scale model of that temple from ancient Greece located in Nashville. And you got old Athena sitting there on her deity's throne. And when you walk in that place, you notice people who have been trained by the religious system of this day. They walk in and they feel reverence. And they begin to lower their voice. And they begin to whisper. Because they've been trained that that's what you do in the house of a God. And they feel like they're, it kind of feels like church. Got a great big tall ceiling and big columns and kind of an Athenian type of architecture and a Grecian architecture. And when you get in there, she's 40 feet tall. Big gal sitting on that throne. And I don't know if they're afraid of waking her up or... But they're whispering because that's what they do at the house of God. they whisper, because you don't make noise at the house of God. But the word of God says, shout with a voice of triumph. Now, you would think our society doesn't know what the voice of triumph is, but you can hear it. You can hear it from miles away from the sports stadiums. You can hear it in deafening tones in a basketball gymnasium. You can hear it in soccer stadiums all over the world. You can hear it when the winner crosses the finish line at the horse track. You can hear it at the Olympics when their country wins the race. You can hear it all over the world, but somebody has said, well, we don't need to hear it in the house of God. But I want to tell you, if there's ever been a place that was appropriate for lifting up a voice of triumph, there is no triumph like the triumph of the soul. There is no triumph like the triumph over sin. There is no triumph like having your home put back together and your life put back together to find out that you're not going to hell, but you're going to live for God and go to glory. My God, there is no triumph like that. There's no race like that. There's no basketball game like that. There's no World Series like that. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. This is inspirational, but it's informational, because he's telling us this is the theology by which you come to God. You come to God in affirmation and approval, clapping those hands, using what God gave you to praise and magnify God. Now, some folks think we're off the deep end about praise, and some folks think we worship God too much, but I've just got this idea that if you can have camp meeting anytime, 1 week in the summer, that you can have camp meeting every time you open the door. And I know you know this story, but I've got to tell you, it is integral to my revelation on worship and praise. I'm in the Philippines. I'm on a mountain outside Manila, and there's a river stream coming down that mountain, and we're going to be baptizing people there. But this little woman is coming up the stream bed, rock to rock, setting the stump of her body down on the rocks and on the stream bed as she made her way to the house of God. She didn't have any legs, but she inspired in me a dedication that I had never witnessed before. Here she comes. Her hands are calloused like the bottoms of your feet in the summertime, but she's coming to the house of God. And in that instant, the Holy Ghost said, you better praise me with everything you've got. You better praise me with everything you got. My God, there's people that would love to have your feet. There's people that would love to have your hands. There's people that would love to have your voice. There's somebody in this city that would love to have another Wednesday night to praise God. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. You say, well, it's not all about noise. Well, no, it's not. But it's got a lot of noise connected with it. Any winning team, any championship club, anybody that knows they've won and that they are a winner, anybody that's got good things raining down in their lives, there's always an energy about that. There's always something inspiring about that. It's never dead and dull and dry and quiet. Before there were football coaches and basketball coaches, before anybody ever talked about the 12th man or the 6th man, the devil knew long time ago that you needed to take the crowd out of the game. And that's something a visiting coach wants to do early and boldly. He wants to shut down that home field advantage. He wants to shut down that roar of approval and that driving, shouting, pulsing voice of humanity that drives them to excel beyond their human capacities. And it will. I mean, when you've got a lot of people behind you and a lot of energy behind you, there's just something about that. It's like when you yoke the donkeys together. You don't just get the sum of their individual energies. You get something multiplied. There's something exponential that happens when you have a crowd of people standing together, shouting a certain thing and pulsing toward a certain goal. And the opposing coach always wants to take that out of the equation. And I'll tell you this, every time we come to this house together, the devil wants to come here and he wants to quieten the crowd and he wants to shut up the home field advantage. And he doesn't want somebody that needs the Holy Ghost to get it. So he wants you to sit here like you lost your best friend. He wants you to shut up because you had a bad day at work. He wants to meet you. Have you ever noticed? I know it's anecdotal. You can't prove it in a lab. But have you ever noticed the tension that comes on a household when they're trying to come to the house of God? I can't prove anything scientifically here tonight, but theologically, I believe the devil hates it. And as soon as you set your sights on the house of God, he wants you to walk in the door in a funk. He wants you to come in the door upset and angry and bitter and remembering. I mean, you can have some of the wildest fights you've ever had on the way to church. What's that about? He wants to take out the crowd. He wants to quieten that home field advantage. But I tell you what, every time we open the doors in this house, we want to make good use of that thing that God has given us. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. I want Holy Ghost to rain down in this house. I want remission of sins to break loose in this house. I want demonic spirits to have to flee. I want oppression to lift off of lives. How about you? Can we covenant together and say we will worship with all of our hearts? Can we covenant together? Can we conspire together and say we will frighten the visiting preachers that fill this pulpit? We will charge this pulpit and we'll say, preach to me, preacher. Well, praise God. Well, Brother Sutton, I don't think it takes all that. Well, maybe not. And you just go on your sweet self, your own sweet way. But that's the way it's going to be here. We only get one shot at this. We've already walked through 19 years. And we're just beginning to become what God has called us to be in this city. And I'm looking at generations on these pews tonight, and I'm wondering, what is this place going to be as those who've never known anything else just walk out in the power of unadulterated praise and worship before God? It's pretty scary. Praise God. Now the praise singers sing, don't wait till the battle is over. Shout. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Don't wait till it's over. And we know the Sunday school story. And they shout before the walls come down. Anybody can shout after the miracle is in your hand. Anybody can, it's not a demonstration of faith. Anybody can shout after the bill is paid and after the provision is made and after the healing has come. But God's looking for somebody that with faith. He asked the question in the gospel record. He said, will I find faith when I come back to the earth? Is there going to be somebody there that'll believe me? Faith has many dimensions, but one of the areas where you demonstrate your faith is in your praise. when you're shouting and you're worshiping. And then Brother Butch finds out you do have problems in your life. You have had setbacks in your life. Your life is not perfect and ideal in every way. But he's found out that you're praising and worshiping God anyway. Wait, what is that about? What is that about? That's about shouting before the answer comes. That's about shouting before the walls come down. It's a mentality. It's a lifestyle. It's a philosophy. It's theologically based in the Word of God. This is sound theology. This is not just all breath and roar and sweat, but this is the Word of the living God enacted by people who live real lives and have real problems. But they say, I will not let you steal my praise. Every time I get a chance, I'm going to praise God. Praise God. We're going to praise him because the Lord Most High is awesome. We're going to praise him because he is a great king over all the earth. We're going to praise him because he rules everything. Praise God. Can somebody shout a testimony about what God is? Just over in this area. Somebody knows something about him. Oh, but shout it out. I know, Mosetta, you got a bigger voice than that. He's a deliverer and a keeper. What? Say it. That's not a shout. That's a little whip. He's a healer. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. He's a healer. Anybody else over here? He's my comforter. Faithful. Waymaker. Redeemer. Strong tower. My God, I feel it when you say it. Can't you feel that when they say it? Can't you feel that when they shout it? The Holy Ghost responds to that. The enemy backs up because of that. Anybody in this area? He's my provider. What is he? Mighty God. Talk about a loud voice. Woo! Mighty God. Anybody here? On, Banner. Jehovah Nisi. My salvation. The God of my salvation. He is Joshua. He is Jesus. He's Yeshua. He is the God of my salvation. Why do you worship like that? We worship because he's a great king. We worship because he's the maker of everything. We Alpha, Omega. Wonderful, Brother Lou says. Lily of the Valley. Strength. Rose of Sharon. Restorer, bride and morning star, righteousness. My God, we're on a roll over here. He's her joy. He's my joy. He's my joy. That's why I worship him. He's a mighty God. He's my provider. Everlasting Father. Padre Eterno. Dios Fuerte. Do you know all that? Do you know all that? Do you understand all that? Well, in light of that, clap your hands, all your people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. My God, when I think about him and I think about what he is, when I think about him and I think about what he's done, he's worthy of all the praise. He's worthy of all the glory. God says, Abram, now I know that you love me more than the heathens love their gods. My God, if there's a sports stadium in this city that outshouts us, we should hang our heads in shame. Is that if there's a basketball arena in this city that is louder, that is more passionate, that is more intense than we are, we ought to hang our heads in shame. You say, Brother Sutton, it's not just in the volume. I'm telling you, when you find people that are passionate, there's always volume and movement. And when you find people that love something, there's always an intensity that you can feel in the air. We don't worship him just because. We worship him for the word of God's sake and what we know him to be. King of kings, Lord of lords. We worship him because of the promise and because of the victory. Verse 4, he shall choose our inheritance for us. Anybody excited about heaven? Anybody excited about leaving this present world? Anybody excited about no more goodbyes, no more funerals, no more hospital rooms, no more broken down bodies, no more sickness? My God, he's chosen already. He's chosen our inheritance. He's chosen our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. In a specific to Israel sense, this is talking about the land of Abram, or the promised land, which is physical Israel there with Jerusalem as its center. But for us, this is larger. We also are the children of Abraham by faith, citing Galatians chapter 3. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are part of that Abrahamic calling, that Abrahamic seed, and we have an inheritance, and we shout because of that, and we clap because of that, and we lift our voices in triumph because of that. I may not excel in the natural, but friend, I've got a home in glory. You would not believe. I may have some valley experiences here, but I've got a home in glory, and it's going to be no nighttime there, only sunshine. I'm telling you, it sounds like it's too good to be true, and it really is. But he said he loves Jacob. We shout because he loves Jacob. Israel is the transitioned, the ascended Jacob. Israel is power with God and power with man, an overcomer. But Jacob is the liar, the deceiver. Jacob is like our mortal, natural body and carnal mind. Jacob is like our past and our failures and our falling and all of our struggles to do right and to be right. But the Bible said he loves Jacob, and we shout because he loves Jacob. We shout because we don't have to be perfect for him to love us. We shout because we know we've drank of the grace and the mercies of God. We shout because we have an inheritance. We shout because he loves Jacob. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 5. God is gone up. Everybody say, God is gone up with a shout. See, when you're shouting, you're just acting like God. God shouts. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Praise God. You know, the word of God, Romans 4 and 17 declares, he calls those things which are not as though they were. You see, God created time. The fourth day of creation, he created the sun, moon, stars for months and years and seasons. Time started on the fourth day, and God lives outside of time. It's a component of our natural existence, and God lives outside of time, and there's where we label him as eternal, because that is as opposed to us, because all we know has to do with time. But time only happens in this little module here where we are, this little natural frame where we live. Out there where God lives, time doesn't mean anything at all. Praise God. And God stands and sees the end and the beginning all at the same time, and he can tell you exactly what the end is already. It's not predestination. It's foreknowledge. He just sees it. Calvin's wrong. It's not predestination. It's just that God's not blind. He already sees the end from where he's standing. He calls those things that are not as though they were. He already sees your victory that's coming up. He already sees that thing of triumph that's about to break loose in your life. Praise God. God is gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Now, Psalms 119, verse 89, we talk about this. The word is forever settled in the heavens. The word of God's already been spoken. God's already set this thing in motion. The things prepared for you have already been prepared from the foundation of the world. You don't have to convince God. It's already been established. It's already been poured out. It's there for you if you will have the spiritual initiative to lay claim to it. Praise God. But this verse is very, very like a couple of New Testament verses. This business about God shouting and going up with the sound of a trumpet. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. I read it in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Well, you see, our mind doesn't work like their minds work. We've got hope in everything we do, every day we live. We've got hope. Somebody ought to say amen. We shout because we've got hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and everybody that does said amen. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of God, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, this is voicing again the psalmist, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what this psalmist is talking about. The day of the shout, the day of the trump of the Lord and God rising up. Well, praise God. Now, in the latter verses of this 47th chapter, there is a proclamation of something that will take place after that trump and after that shout. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. We don't praise in a void or a vacuum. We praise with understanding. We know why we're shouting. We're not just in a place where they do that, so we do that. And we're not just part of a heritage where that's what grandma did, so we do that. We know why we're shouting. My God, we got a promise with our name written on it. We know what we're shouting about. God reigns over the heathen. God sits upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. I want you to understand that that's talking about a day when God exercises his rightful control over this earth. But it's not like that right now. The psalmist is not talking about something that is. He's talking about something that will be. Because the scripture is very, very plain that Satan is the god of this world. When he meets Jesus in the wilderness in Luke chapter 4, he clearly tells him, all of this is mine. And I can give it to whoever I... Where did he get that arrangement? He got it when Adam bowed down in the garden and sinned. It was Adam's. Now it's Satan's. And now Satan rules this world, but that's not going to last forever. There's coming a day when God is, he's already paid the price. He's already won the battle. But there's this little business of making our way through the timeline. But if you would care to read in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, after the two witnesses are resurrected and they ascend into the heaven, something dynamic breaks loose in that chapter. And it is exactly what this psalmist is talking about. A day when God exercises control over the kings of the earth. He's not doing that right now, but he's going to. All this trouble and all this nonsense, this stuff's going to stop as soon as he splits that eastern sky. And he says, time's up, I'm taking over, and he's going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. But chapter 11 in Revelation, beginning in verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded. That's the last trump. That's the seventh trump. Paul said, at the last trump. And there were great voices in the heavens saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. At that last trump, there's going to be a sea change. No more is carnal man going to rule on this earth, but God Almighty is going to establish his throne as per his promise to the nation of Israel. And God's people are going to rule and reign with him, at least for that first 1,000 years and then eternity. We don't, let me tell you something. If you don't think we have reason to shout, if you don't think these promises are bigger than your deficit in your bank book, if you don't think these promises are bigger than a little infirmity in your body, if you don't think these promises are bigger than some friend having turned their back on you, or somebody said, oh my God, somebody said something about me, I can't live for God, you're blind and deaf and dumb, you don't understand the word of God or the promises of God. My God, I've got a promise, and nothing can compare with the promise of God in my life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God. No, come on, all you people. I know it's late. I know it's Wednesday. I know this is weird. All you people, shout, 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 shout unto God. Praise God. You can come on down to the altar if you want. Verse 6, chapter 47 of the Psalms. Everybody say, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Now, this is a mandate, so turn to somebody by you and say, sing praises unto God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. You hear the redundance there? Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout. What's the psalmist doing there? He said, now listen to me. Listen to me. Sing praises unto God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto the King. Sing praises. It's like, well, I heard you the first time, and I understood, and I knew exactly what you were saying. But he's emphasizing. He's teaching. Repetition is teaching. And so he's teaching. He's saying it's important for you to sing praises unto God. Sing praises. He's saying don't forget to sing praises. He's saying don't stop singing praises. He's saying sing praises to the King. Sing praises. He's saying don't forget he's God. Don't forget he's a King. Don't quit singing praises. Come on. Sing praises unto the King. Sing praises. Sing praises unto God. Sing. Don't stop. I can't stop praising his name. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, it doesn't matter what comes my way, I've got a promise that won't quit. I've got a God that's never let me down. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. My God, I'm gonna praise him. Come on, turn to somebody else and say, God's more important than the money. God's more important than my friends. God's more important than the stock market. God's more important than any circumstance in my life. I'm going to praise it. Sing praises unto God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto the King. Sing praises. Don't forget to praise him. Shake your neighbor. Tell him don't forget to praise him. Okay, we're going to have a little workshop here. We're just going to praise the Lord for just a few minutes, okay? Workshop. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. You can take somebody by the hand if you want. Praise him. got to praise him. Got to praise him. Wait a minute. Why are you praising God?
Good.
Why are you praising God?
All the time.
Why are you praising God in this house? Why are you acting like a fool in this house?
He's a provider.
Why are you praising God in this house, you little midget? Because my mommy and my daddy bring me here, and we love God, and we praise God together. You know, for these babies, for these little ones, your worship is a sign unto them. Turn to your neighbor and say, your worship is a sign unto these little ones. If I come to the house of God and I sit like this, that's a sign unto them too. That's a sign that says God can't do it, and that there is no joy, and my problems are bigger than my God. Your worship is a sign to the visitor that comes in. Real quietly now, say, don't wait till the battle is over. 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 Don't wait till the battle. I can see some of you are going to wait until the battle is over. You need to praise him now. You need to worship him now. Worship the provider. Worship the healer. Worship the way maker. Worship that devil chasing Holy Ghost. Hey! Don't you wait. All right, let's clap our hands. All you people, shout with a voice of triumph. Praise God. Praise God. Don't you love what God's doing? All right. So we're going to raise the bar in every area in 06. We're going to have more people get the Holy Ghost. We're going to have more people get baptized than ever before. We're going to have more intensity in these services than ever before. Bring your A game when you come. Now know when you start this, the devil's going to try to take you out of the game. He's going to try to quieten the crowd. Praise is always appropriate. It's comely. God bless you. Appreciate the church so much, your response. Appreciate our visitors in the house tonight. Remember, if you're on the usher greeter team, I need to see you here at 7 on Friday. And if you're involved in that pastor's Bible study on Friday night, or you'd like to be, I have a Bible study on Friday night at 8 o'clock. Saturday evening, 6 o'clock, Brother Danny Hood from Colorado. Saturday afternoon at 1, an outreach here at the church to the Latino community. God bless you.